Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Now, in depth on gas guzzlers slurping up all that cheap fuel. Oh, that sound? That's the sound of Americans saying, fuel economy? What fuel economy? Now that gasoline is cheap, it's well under $2 around here. Car buyers are back to the big trucks and the road warrior SUVs. The EPA reported in December that consumers are buying larger and heavier vehicles and fewer passenger cars. Low gas prices are also stalling out sales of electric cars. They fell 6% in 2015 from 2014. So while cheap gas feels good in the wallet, what does it mean for emissions and climate change? Two guests, I'd love to inform our conversation with your thinking on this. Now that gas is cheap, be honest, are you less inclined to buy a more fuel-efficient vehicle? Are you considering an electric car anytime soon? And there are a number out there. We're going to talk about that. Why or why not? Here's the number, 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. We've got a discussion going on with Steph Curtis at nprnews.org/live. And of course, I'm on Twitter at @CarrieNPR. Sonari Glinton is with us. He's an NPR reporter who covers the car industry. He is up quite early in California. Sonari, welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
It's good to be on the show.
Margot Oge is with us. She's a longtime executive with the EPA, and she's author of Driving the Future, and she's with us from Washington. And Margot, welcome to you. It's good to have you on the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Sonari, President Obama was just in Detroit. I think you actually did a story on this, and he was talking up how well the auto industry is doing. Isn't it the case that companies like Chrysler are doing well, in part because they're selling a lot of big trucks and SUVs?
Well, it's funny you say in part. I would say mainly.
Really?
Because okay. They were selling trucks and SUVs. Just to give you an understanding, about 58% of the vehicles that were sold last year were trucks or SUVs. So the big three U.S. companies do, like, the majority of their profits come from trucks and SUVs. Ford, for instance, it's estimated that over 90% of Ford's profits come from the F-150 truck.
Wow.
So in my brain, you know, people say, I cover cars. I like to say I cover the truck industry.
In because US. That's what it is, essentially. So,
exactly.
Sonari, when the car makers are selling like that, then obviously they're manufacturing more of the vehicles that people are buying. What does that mean for some of these smaller vehicles that they thought would be in demand in the market?
Well, I mean, to be clear, the automakers, I feel like over the years, there's been this like knock against Detroit, the idea being that, like, oh, they don't sell the cars that people want. Well, last year were record sales, well over, you know, 17.5 million vehicles sold, the majority of them being trucks and SUVs. People want these vehicles. They want the more size. They want the height. There's a lot that recommends a compact SUV, which is where a lot of people are moving. I mean, car makers are selling, you know, they're not making people buy pickup trucks. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
People are
right.
Running to the
this
store
is what they
to
want.
Get them because they want them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Margot, is this just amnesia? Is this the usual cycle of the minute gasoline prices drop, Americans go right back to the big cars and the big SUVs?
Well, I don't know if I'd call it amnesia, but clearly, you know, when the gas prices go down, the consumers, to a lot of extent, have a little bit of a short memory of what happened in 2008, and they go back to SUVs. But let me just make a couple of points
okay.
here. Gasoline prices is probably the lowest we have seen it for many years. But what we need to keep in mind, even if consumers are buying more SUVs, the SUVs that they're buying today are much more fuel efficient than the SUVs they bought 5 years ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Exactly.
Yes. So what happened is when President Obama came in office in 2009, the first action that he took, actually the first executive order that he gave and you know the problems with his executive orders, many people are complaining, was to EPA and the Department of Transportation to set the first joint effort for a fuel economy greenhouse gas standards for cars and SUVs. That was in 2010. And then in 2012, we had the second executive order to improve fuel efficiency from 2012 to 2025. So by 2025, the executive order, and actually the first climate action that we took in this country to reduce carbon pollution comes from cars, is to double the fuel efficiency of cars in 2025 to 54.5 miles per gallon and reduce the carbon footprint of cars by 50%. So, yes, today the consumer is going and gets more SUVs, but these SUVs are cleaner. They're going to continue to be more cleaner and more fuel efficient all the way to 2025.
Okay, so that's,
but Margo,
let me ask you this about that, though. I mean, all vehicles are getting more fuel efficient and cleaner. So if you're buying even one of these cleaner SUVs, you're still making a choice about size and power and whatever over fuel emissions, because they're not going to be as clean as the vehicles that you could buy. Yes?
But they're not going to be as fuel efficient as a subcompact, but they're going to be much more fuel efficient than this, the same SUV you bought 5 years ago.
Okay. Sonari, what would you say about that?
Well, I mean, exactly, and that's one of the, I mean, that's one of the things about the cars and trucks that are on the road. An F-150, for instance, is a lot more fuel efficient than an F-150 5 years ago because of these strict emission standards. Companies like Ford have done things like lightweighting, taking hundreds of pounds out of the biggest truck. And to be clear about the consumer does almost always choose fuel economy. It's not that they're not choosing between a Prius and a pickup truck. That's the, you know, that's the thought.
Yeah.
When they're buying a pickup truck, they're going to always get, they're going to usually get the most fuel efficient pickup truck. If they're going to get an SUV, they want, people want the most fuel efficient SUV. So they always tend towards the most fuel efficient thing. It's not necessarily the vehicle, but if you figure that the F-150 is the best-selling truck in the U.S. for 9 years in a row, adding 1 mile of fuel efficiency, you know, means as much as a whole fleet of Priuses. In savings. Like, you have to think about the sheer volume of the vehicles that are being sold by General Motors, Ford, and FCA.
And I hear all that, Sonari, but it would probably look different, or you tell me whether you think it would look different, if gas was at $4 a gallon. We wouldn't be seeing the kinds of SUVs and truck sales, would we, no matter how much more fuel efficient and clean they've gotten in the last 5 years? Or do you think something fundamental has changed on that?
Well, I mean, that is then the problem, you know, that is the rub of having these really tough fuel standards where the companies are spending billions of dollars to meet these standards by offering electrics, hybrids, and things like that when gas prices are severely depressed. That loses some of the reasoning for buying one of these vehicles, but also at the same time, just to you know, keep it complicated, the technology that's going into hybrids is getting less and less expensive, and the difference between a hybrid and a regular vehicle is shrinking with each year.
Wow!
And when given the option, people do tend to choose, like I said, the more fuel efficient vehicle, but they're going to choose at a price point. And right now, an electric car or a really fuel efficient car, for instance, can save you, you know, the Toyota RAV4. There's an example of a car that has a cleaner version. It only takes 2 years now to pay off that difference, even with gas being, you know, about, you know, $2 or so. So the consumer is not like throwing up his hands and not caring about fuel efficiency. But there's a lot to complicate.
Right. Andre says on Twitter, just bought a newish car that gets around 40 miles per gallon. Gas won't be under $2 a gallon forever. And to the phones here to Brian in St. Cloud. Hey, Brian, how are you thinking about this?
Well, really, well, can you hear me? I'm on Bluetooth. I can switch it off if you want.
Brian, hello. Do you want to weigh in on this, or should we come back to you?
Yes, you hear me now?
Yeah, we can. Go ahead.
Well, what's funny is I was just asking you if I should switch it off Bluetooth because I've been having some problems and barely even hear me anyway. So, I'm one of those that haven't even really weighed in. I'm still kind of weighing the facts as to, the whole climate change and that. But that aside, I've always ever since my days in college, I've always gravitated towards something more that on lines that can save me money and burn, why waste, I guess is my mentality on it.
Okay.
So, why waste in anything?
So what's your next car going to be, given your frame of mind of being a penny pincher?
Well, but the car that I'm driving probably would have been a Toyota Prius, but I have a real good friend that has a dealership and he sells Chevys. Well, I didn't want to hurt his feelings, so I ended up buying a Chevy. But I think next time I'm going to even ask him, my friend to go ahead and buy a Toyota Prius wagon.
Yeah.
And then I just buy it from him and, go to an auction.
So it's going to be a hybrid. Auction. Yeah. Margo, yeah. Do you find that more people are not as, I guess, concerned about power and, stamina, I guess, of these hybrid cars as they used to be? Are we getting more informed about this, and are different hybrids coming onto the market that will be more attractive to more drivers?
Yeah. Actually, what is going on, 10 years ago, we had probably two hybrids, the Toyota Prius and the Honda Civic. Today, we have over 70 advanced technology models in the marketplace. 30 of them are plug-in hybrids, and the cost is coming down significantly. So when people are looking, to buy a car, fuel efficiency is important, but also they care about many other things. They care about high technology. People love to see cars that are high-tech cars, and companies are all investing. We have these new players in the marketplace. We have Google, we have Tesla, we have Uber, Lyft, and you're seeing all the major car companies investing on electric powertrain because this is the future. If you think about it, gasoline cars waste 80% of gasoline we put on a gasoline car is wasted, because they are only 15 to 20% efficient, where electric powertrain is 95% efficient. So as the cost is coming down for hybrids and electric cars, this is the future. The future is electric, autonomous, and connected when it comes to cars.
How soon is the future then?
The future
because,
is here.
the way you see people thinking about buying electric cars does not look like it's right around the corner, Margot.
Well, so. Let's not forget that today, 2% of, last year, 2% of cars were sold in the U.S. It may sound small, like 2% only are electric cars, but 5 years ago, we didn't have any electric cars. The cost is coming down. Companies are investing. Ford just announced a $4.5 billion investment on electric cars. General Motors is investing in the next generation of the full electric car. They're calling it Bolt.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to go 200 miles on one charge in the mid-30s. Nissan is improving the fuel efficiency, the mileage, the range of their electric car. So every company is investing to compete with the Googles, to compete with Teslas. But also let's not forget another thing that is going on here, which is not just oil prices. Countries, including the U.S., China, Europe, are moving towards zero-emitting vehicles. So as the regulations are going to place, people are concerned about climate change. China is concerned beyond climate change. They're concerned about air pollution that mm-hmm. is killing people on a daily basis. So they are moving towards electric powertrain. So our mm-hmm. companies in the U.S., looking at cars and innovation, they have to be global players.
Yes.
So that's why you're seeing all this investment. That's what you're seeing, the cost going down. And I believe that the future is not gasoline engines and diesel engines.
Sonari, go ahead.
I was going to say, I would probably disagree that the future is completely electric. But one of the things that's interesting when we look at the depressed sales of hybrids and of a hybrid or alternative powertrains or alternative vehicles is a good way to say it. The Toyota Prius is the 800-pound gorilla in that that space, right? When you think, when people think hybrid, they think Prius. Prius is by far the biggest group there. That product is old. It is an old car. When people are going to buy a Prius, they're getting, you know, a car that has been on the road. They're about to refresh that brand, and I think you're going to see a change when people see a new Prius come out. There's also, like my fellow guest said, the Chevy Bolt, which has 200 miles on the charge, is really, really genuinely an electric vehicle that is in the range of the average consumer, right? It is the idea of range anxiety is much lessened with 200 mile range. The price point is lower. And I think that this is going to be, we're going to see where the rubber meets the road with this vehicle in terms of, you know, all electrics.
Scenario,
whether or not
people
will, you know, adopt it.
I want to follow up on what you just said about the range, because the minute Margot said it's got a 200 mile range, I thought, okay, now we're getting into a place. I mean, that was kind of my reaction, and I will be in the market for a car soon. So,
I mean, this is an evolving thing, right? People are the people, just because of hybrid and electric sales haven't been, you know, gangbusters in this last year, doesn't mean that the ball has not moved way down the field in terms of fuel economy. That's the thing. It is top of mind in many consumers. And just like the caller said, people realize gas is not necessarily going to stay this low forever.
Right.
Possibly a long time, but definitely not forever.
Lori says on Twitter, first time in my life I've chosen legroom over fuel economy. Growing child needs more than a subcompact. Crossover SUV fits the bill. Steph, off the page.
Jen says, we bought an electric car, a Nissan Leaf, the first year it was available. The performance did not live up to the marketing. In Minnesota's cold and in the heat of some of the states, the battery performance was terrible. I think this may be driving the decreases. Many of us are waiting for the next generation before buying electric again.
To the phones, to Al in Eden Prairie. Good morning, Al. How are you?
Good morning.
Good.
Doing great today.
Good.
Thank
Good.
You. That's kind of touching a little bit upon my whole idea. Is I'm the kind of person, I cannot see the point or the value at all. Maybe I'm just cheap, of buying a new car. It's just insane. You buy something that's going to depreciate generally 35 to 50% in the first 2 or 3 years. So I buy something, you know, 2 to 3, 4 years old that's got fairly low miles and drive it till the wheels fall off, and I'm usually pretty well ahead if I buy a decent quality car. That being said, all the talk about electrics, I never hear anyone seriously discuss the situation of consumables, i.e. the battery. If you have to replace on a $8,000 to $10,000 car a $5,000 to $8,000 battery pack, that seems to be the definition of an insanity. So could you guys delve into that a little bit more?
Okay.
I don't see the technology for batteries coming to a point where these things are going to be like, you know, $200, get a new battery kind of thing, like a regular car battery. So what's the scoop on that?
I think we've got the idea. Sonar, you want to answer that, and then we'll go to Margo?
Well, I'm just going to just say that the resale value of cars has actually sort of remained high. So you're not always getting a deal necessarily when you're buying a used vehicle nowadays. Also, you have to think about the battery, et cetera, because that is a part, and where is the fuel coming from? And then another thing about the caller or the person on Twitter talked about at a Nissan Leaf in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I think that consumers who care about these things need to think seriously about where they are and what is the most fuel efficient or what vehicle makes the most sense. For instance, regular gasoline engines are amazingly more fuel efficient. So it might make more sense if you are doing a long haul in, you know, from St. Cloud to Minneapolis. Yeah, exactly. you might want to have a diesel car or a really fuel efficient gas car, because a hybrid might not make sense unless you're in the city where it makes imminent sense to have one in downtown. People need to think about, you know, fuel economy is a really complicated thing. It's not just, oh, I'll buy a hybrid. or I'll buy an electric car. Well, if it doesn't go anywhere because it's 0 degrees, and the battery is using
ahead.
To heat the car, you're not making that much of a change. I would encourage people to be thoughtful about, you know, making those fuel-efficient choices.
Margo, on Twitter here, before you answer that, Kimberly says, what's coming for electric that can tow? I have a small camper and a sea kayak. Americans haul stuff. So what about that?
You know, I don't know what is coming in the market that obviously we have every car company offering an electric car. So the electric car would be able to, you know, if you buy, let's say, a Ford or you buy the new Audi, which is a plug-in hybrid, even if you buy, you know, I own a Volt, which gets me about 40 miles on range, and then it goes to when I cannot find a place to plug in, it goes to a small gasoline engine that gives me the fuel efficiency of 35 miles per gallon. So for somebody like that, you could get a Volt, which is a full sedan. You can get it, an electric range of 40 miles per gallon, 40 miles range. But then, if you run out of electric power, then you can go to a gasoline engine. My Volt got me on an average about 250 miles per gallon. You know, if you combine electricity with gasoline, and given the $7,000 that I get, for federal taxes, the car cost me something like $29,000. So it's a fantastic buy for somebody that wants to have a full sedan, wants to have the ability to go beyond 40 miles on electricity.
Right.
And then also putting your kayak and doing everything else that you want to do,
and your camper
and so forth.
Right.
But again, going back to the previous caller on batteries, the car companies give you a warranty for 10 years, 100,000 miles. But also you have to consider that when it comes to an electric car, you don't have all the other components. So your maintenance, you don't have the oil change, you don't have to worry about your engine, your gasoline engine. So your maintenance is even lower. So again, people that choose electric cars today, we have to realize that this is still new technology. You know, unlike the Prius that has been in the marketplace since 2002 timeframe, electric cars are about 5 years old. And if you realize the technological innovation that has taken place, the fact that the battery cost has come down almost 60% from 5 years ago, that's why I said electrification is the way to go, and I strongly believe that's what's going to happen across the planet. It's not going to happen overnight, you know. So electric cars are not for everybody. Let's make it very clear.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
People that really care about technology, and I care about technology, they want to drive something that is a lot of fun to drive, which is an electric car with very incredible torque. Cars are fantastic to drive, and you care about not polluting the environment.
Margo, let me do that. I just want to remind people who are just tuning into the conversation that we're having here. If you've joined us, it's our hour-long climate cast, and it's a discussion about whether low gasoline prices or how low gasoline prices are driving people who are in the market for a car or a new truck or a new SUV to think about fuel efficiency, clean vehicles. We have been talking about how we're seeing the numbers of SUVs and big trucks going up. Our guests are reminding us fuel prices are not going to be low forever. And there's some new technology and some very clean cars on the market now, clean SUVs on the market now. And so as Sonari Glinton from NPR continues with us, and Margo Oge with us, she's the author of Driving the Future, we're asking you for your thoughts about how you now, if you're in the market for a car, SUV, truck, how you're thinking about fuel efficiency, the new technology, clean emissions, as you get out there in the market and shop. 800-242-2828, 651-227,
6,000. Steph, quick comment off the page.
Datum3 says, I'd consider an electric minivan. Three kids plus grandmas who each live 600 miles away equals big vehicle, a must. And Joe says, I drove my 2008 Prius from Pittsburgh to Minneapolis this summer. I used only 1.5 tanks of gas to go 900 miles.
Oh my gosh, wow. Sold. Sonari, just real quickly, doesn't Chrysler have a plug-in minivan coming out per our writer there about that?
I'm not 100% sure about that, but also I just wanted to just say that the towing capacity is an issue for electrification. I mean, there are a lot of vehicles, to our caller's point, they're not a lot of sort of, you know, low-end torque electric cars or trucks that can, you know, haul a camper. That is in the future, but, you know, all cars can't do all things. And I think that's a place where you might want a really fuel efficient pickup truck or something like that.
Okay. I do think Chrysler has a plug-in minivan coming out.
They do, yes.
And Margo, okay. Do you remember what the name of it is, the brand of it?
I'm trying to...
All right. We'll find it.
Yeah. But they do have a minivan that is plug-in. This is that was a big announcement for Chrysler.
Okay. Let me grab a call here from Loreen in Menominee. Hey, Loreen. Hi. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Uh-huh. See, I just wanted to add that, you know, I think people buy cars for specific reasons. Like, I bought mine. I just bought a Prius in October.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2014, so it's one of the later models, but it sounds like there's going to be something even newer coming out. I'm a commuter, and so commuters, I think, buy either for comfort, so that's going to be one of those bigger cars or trucks that ride like a living room, or me, because the gas was costing me forever. I gave up my Ford Windstar van that was costing me $600 a month in gas, because I drive from Menominee to Wisconsin to St. Paul every day for either work or school, sometimes twice a day. So
yeah,
I can be driving up to 250 miles a day, easy. I've put 10,000 miles, actually 11,000 miles on this Prius since I bought it October 23rd, and I've spent less than $600 in gas. So I think for people like me, and it's interesting, I've had a lot of people, once I thought I have a Prius, do you like it? We're thinking about it. We're doing the commuting. For gas savings on commuting, holy cow, I mean, I put it on 60 miles an hour. Stick it in cruise control, and I'm getting 55 miles per gallon.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sold.
One of the things I always think of is that people often don't think about the convenience of electric or hybrids. I also have a plug-in hybrid, and I, you know, often don't stop at a gas station. And when I do, I'm like, oh, people have to do this all the time. You know, like once a month, maybe I'll put gas in it. I mean, the convenience is a real thing that I think the car companies don't often talk
about. And you're in California, so I assume you're driving a lot, Sonari, no?
Yeah, I mean, that's the one of the things about the range of electric vehicles is that people don't understand how little they actually commute.
And that could be.
And that range anxiety, my car gets about 40 miles or so, and I might plug it in on a charge. I might plug it in twice a week, and I never put gas in it. Like, I don't even plug it in every day. And if I did plug it in every day, and this is to talk about cost, if I plugged it in every day and I gave it a full charge, it would cost me $12
a month. Oh my gosh.
That's pretty persuasive of the savings.
I'm hearing from listeners now that it is a Chrysler Pacifica. Thank you, Twitter people. Thank you, people in the control room, for that. It's a Pacifica.
I was at the other side of the convention hall when that was announced.
It's a plug-in. It's Chrysler's new plug-in minivan coming out. Steph, you want to share something off the page?
Yeah, Lisa says, I don't make enough in wages to buy a vehicle newer than 8 years old, and my work requires me to drive on forest roads and logging roads. Perhaps I am uninformed, but I don't think older electrics have the clearance I need. And Lynn says, we lease a Honda and re-lease every 2 years. We get a new car with the newest fuel efficiency as they come out, and we reduce our out-of-pocket costs, too.
Eric on Twitter, Nissan Leaf loses some range in cold, but still very feasible. And Chris, this made me laugh. Many of my family members are tall and or overweight. My brother-in-law always says, us big people need big vehicles. I mean, Marco, is that part of what you're, what the car makers are up against, that just this idea that if you're going to drive something hybrid or plug-in, you're going small and it's just not going to feel roomy like we Americans tend to like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be, though. I mean, let me make it very clear. When we put forward policies or regulations, we want to make sure that people, consumers, can get the car and the attributes of the car that they're looking for. So we don't want to force people in small cars or subcompact cars or large cars. So the beauty of today, I mean, we just need to realize, regardless of low gasoline prices, regardless of, you know, the interest that you have in a car, if you want to have a minivan, you can get a minivan that is more fuel efficient than the minivan 5-10 years ago. And it's going to be even more fuel efficient and more cleaner and more high technology and low cost 10 years from now. So that's the beauty of all this. Again, right. You know, I drive a full sedan. I'm a small person, but my husband is almost 6 feet tall, so he's a big guy, and he fits very well. And you know, I drive, you know, around Washington, D.C., that's the area that I live, and I don't even think that I have gone to a gas station for the past 6 months. I get 40 miles back and forth. I plug it in every day. It's like no problem at all. And I love the fact that I don't have to go to a gas station.
I guess.
And I haven't calculated my cost, but I bet you, even with $2 a gallon, my cost of driving significantly less than using gasoline. So we don't want to force people on small cars. We don't have to. People today have choices. And again, going back to electric cars or plug-in hybrids, they are not for everybody, but the technology is improving. Companies are investing significant amount of money, not because they want to be green, because they realize that's the future. And they want to compete with technology companies.
Margo, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Really good to have you as part of the conversation.
Thank you.
Margo Ogay's book is called Driving the Future. Sonari, it sounded like you were not agreeing with Margo there at the end.
Oh, well, no. It's just that there is, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there at the end of the day, the car companies are doing what the consumers want. Consumers are looking for a certain type of car. And there are some limitations to these electric vehicles. The regular gasoline engine is a lot more fuel efficient. And as the caller said, if she has to drive an older car, it probably makes much more sense to get a really fuel efficient compact sedan, because those cars can get you 45 miles a gallon. We get the if we wanted to, we could have had a 55 mile a gallon car. We had one that was 44 miles a gallon when I was a young child. But it didn't have, you know, it didn't have airbags. It didn't have four DVD players. It didn't have, you know, electric windows and things like that. So we could get there if we wanted to. It's about our choices, and we choose a lot of things over fuel economy.
Exactly. Morgan says, I'm waiting for hydrogen fuel cells. Steph off the page.
Eric says, I am very overweight, and I drive a Mini Cooper, and I love it. I don't buy the big person, big car argument.
Those Mini Coopers are so cute.
They are.
Eric, way to go. To John in Edina. Hey, John, thanks so much for waiting. Hi.
Yeah, hi, thanks. You know what? I have to talk fast because I have to run into a meeting. So,
okay.
But about a half an hour ago, I heard your guest, gentleman, say that people base their car buying decisions on mileage, on gas mileage. And I have to respectfully disagree 100%. You buy a car for its functionality, your use, aesthetics, and cost. And when I bought a truck, and when I was doing my truck search, I did my due diligence. I was looking for safety and reliability and again, abilities, the amenities, and the cost. The closest runner-up had 1 mile per gallon better than the truck that I was buying. It wasn't enough. And so from myself and my friends, as well as the car dealers I know, no one is basing their car buying decision on mileage. It's so far down the list. So I just wanted to throw that out there, and now I have to run. And
have a good meeting.
A little bit before I have
okay,
to go
good.
In.
Sonari, what would you say?
Well, I would say that was when all things are even, right? When all things are equal, between two cars, if there's a choice, people tend to choose no one wants to be had, right? People want to choose the most fuel efficient of the car that they were looking for, you know, that fits their needs. That's also the thing. I mean, you're not going to say step out of a F-150 into a Prius, right? But you might be excited about a really new fuel efficient vehicle that is in that range.
Back to the phones here to Arthur in Savage. Hey, Arthur. Hi. What'd you want to say?
Hi. I just heard the caller in from Eden Prairie, and I disagree with he said the fuel economy was, in fact, the one thing I actually looked for.
It was or wasn't?
It was.
It was. Okay.
And I was kind of in the same boat. I was looking at trucks as well, and I was comparing like F-150 to a Mazda CX-5, and I was kind of looking to get more space out of the current sedan that I had, and you know, there's a lot of criteria that I was looking at, but for some reason I kept going back to fuel economy among all the other things that he mentioned, you know, safety, reliability, passenger room, and the car I got fit the bill. And in terms of going to hybrids and new cars and people worrying about not having that much power, I did look at the new Volvo XC90 that came out. It has twin turbo, it has a lot of power, and it has like over 50 miles per gallon.
Is that a hybrid, Arthur? Or really?
No, it's a hybrid, yeah. So, I mean, there are newer options that come out there that kind of are trying to fit the whole bill of being fuel efficient, powerful, and, you know, roomy and spacious and have good, like, towing capacity and cargo room. But unfortunately for me, I'm in my 20s, and buying a $50,000 car wasn't exactly a very smart
option in your
at
budget.
The time.
Someday, no. Arthur, someday.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, good to have your call. I don't want to end here without talking to somebody who's driving a Tesla. And luckily, we have someone on the line, to Chang in St. Paul. You are a Tesla driver, is that right?
Yeah, I've been following Tesla since 2008. And I've been watching the electric cars come out, such as, you know, the Toyota RAV-E, the Volt, the Leaf, and none of the range in those cars were good enough for me. So when Tesla was discussing back in 08, a sedan that could actually go over 200 miles per charge, I said, I'm going to save my pennies and buy one of those. And voila, I've been driving it for about 2 years now, and I've got about 30,000 miles in my car, and quite frankly, I'd never buy another gas car again.
Really? So now, how much did the Tesla cost you? Can you tell me that?
Well, they start around $60,000 after the fuel incentive. So it's not cheap, but, you know, as a believer in the technology, you know, some of us have to help out such, you know, entrepreneurs to actually get a company off the ground. So they vary from 60 to in the, you know, low 100,000 range. It's definitely not cheap. But what I factored in, well, I reasoned it as, you know, a simpler drivetrain. You know, I hear a lot of discussion on today's segment about the Prius. And I said, well, it is a decent car. It's made by Toyota. I own quite a few Toyotas. But it's a complex drivetrain. You got, you know, a gas engine, an electric engine. You got batteries. It's so complicated. The Tesla, of course, it's complicated with the computer system. But if you look at the drivetrain, it's basically an electric motor, a battery, and a one-speed transmission hooked up together.
Chang, I have to let you go, but really good to hear your experience with the Tesla. And Sonari, I have to let you go, too. And thank you very much. So good to have you on the show.
Thanks. It's good to be here. That's to say, the most fuel-efficient car probably is, you know, a Honda Civic or something like that. And those cost about, you know, 18 grand or so. So
I was hearing from a lot of Civic drivers, so I'm glad you mentioned that. Sonari Glinton is an NPR reporter. He covers the car industry with us from California.